Today I'd like to speak about what the Bible says about blessing, and I'd like to go right the way through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, just looking at a big picture of what the Bible says about blessing. And there are three kinds of blessing. When we bless God, or we bless some item like food, that's the first. The second is God blesses us. And the third is we bless one another. And I'm going to take each of these categories. So we're going to look first of all about us blessing God or blessing food. Second, God blesses us. And I'm going to put in how we bless each other in that. And then thirdly, do our blessings have any effect? So the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And the New Testament was written in Greek, and they have different words for bless. The New Testament uses a very general word. The Greek word is eulogeo, which simply comes from you, which is good, and logos, which is word. And in fact, we get the word eulogy directly from that, which is good words. So eulogy is actually directly from the Greek to bless. And as you can tell, it's very general. It just means speaking good words. The Old Testament word is a little bit more specific. It's barak. And it's about giving a blessing. Though there is another word, esher, which it means happy, as in happy as the man who meditates in the law of the Lord day and night in Psalm 1. And that's not such a common word. The main word for blessing is barak. Now, when we want to know the meaning of a word, we have to look at how it's actually used. It's not a dictionary that defines the meaning. Its usage defines the meaning. So we're going to spend quite a bit of time today looking at examples of how it's being used. And first of all, I want to look at the New Testament word eulogeo, to bless, and what it means when a human is doing the blessing. So first, when we are blessing God, it seems to be interchangeable with praising God or thanking God. They're good words we're giving to God. So let me give you some examples. Revelation 7, all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne of God and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." And so this is worship. This is just lifting God's name up in worship. They're not giving God any kind of special gift, not bestowing anything on him, just giving him praise. This is equally true in the Old Testament, and I can show this very easily from the Psalms. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name." So I think that's pretty convincing, isn't it? When we look at the usage, then bless and blessing God and praising him are interchangeably used. Now, I could have given you multitudes of other examples of what it means to bless God. We're not conferring some special status on God by blessing him. We are praising him, saying good things about him. But the question then comes up, what if we bless things like food? What if we're blessing food? It's interesting that when Jesus ate, he virtually always said a prayer, but the words bless and thanks are used interchangeably when the writers talk about him praying. So, for example, when two different gospels report exactly the same occasion, some use the word bless the food, some use the word give thanks for the food. So an example would be feeding the 5,000 when Jesus broke the loaves and the fish and fed a lot of people. We read, Matthew says, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them. So giving thanks. Mark says he gave thanks for the bread and blessed the fish. John says he gave thanks for both the bread and the fish. So it seems that to bless food is literally to speak good words concerning it. In other words, praise God and thank him for the food. It's not about imparting some magical blessing into the food by blessing him. Otherwise, Jesus forgot to do that most of the time. He just gave thanks. Just a little bit more about blessing food. I found a great quote here. When we bless a meal, we're not invoking a divine power to make it taste good or to make sure that we don't choke on it or it doesn't have any bacterial infection. We're simply thanking God for his provision for the food. Now, of course, we can pray that we don't get sick eating it, but we're going to be praising God for the food later. And we're not worried about bacterial infection. We're praising him for his goodness in supplying our needs. In fact, it's a shorthand. Blessing food is a shorthand for blessing and thanking God. The New Testament tells us he feeds the sparrows. He cares much more for us. He provides for our needs, and it's important to acknowledge this. This is why Jesus so often gave thanks for food as an example to us, because it's a reminder constantly that it's God who supplies our needs. So if you give thanks for whatever you're being given by God, as part of your daily practice, it reminds you that he is the one who supplies your daily provisions. So I want to suggest then that is what the Bible says about blessing God or blessing food. It's for God, it's simply praising him, lifting his name up in worship, and for food, it is thanking God for it. It's praising God for looking after our needs. So the second question then is, what about God blessing us or us blessing one another? What about that situation? What's going on with that? Well, first of all, we can look at God blessing us. And a good example would be Abraham. It said Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So this very obviously means he'd given him a lot of blessings. In other words, he had children, he had flocks and herds, he had a great company of people who were with him. So it's a physical blessing that God has given him, all of these things. It's not about God praising him, it's about God giving him all of these gifts. Another example would be in Deuteronomy 30. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to take possession of it. So that's pretty clear that it's something tangible that God is giving when he's blessing. It's not just words. And now note that in the old covenant, the old law, blessing was conditional on keeping the law, as you can quite clearly see in this verse. I'm going to be coming on again to that later, because that's going to be interesting. So when God blesses, it's usually not just giving nice words. Usually when God blesses, it's actually something that is tangible, that's physical, or it could be spiritual, it could be health, it could be lots of things. That's what we mean when God is blessing. It's a gift from God. So here's the question: what about when we bless others? And this is what we are going to be interested in particularly today, since we're coming up to the blessing of a baby. What does this mean when we are blessing others? Well, sometimes we use the word in a very physical, tangible way. So literally, like my boss blessed me with a great bonus this year. You know, it's like it's nothing spiritual about it. Like to bless somebody just means to give them something, you know. And Abraham did the same kind of thing when he blessed his son, blessed Isaac. He blessed him by giving him his inheritance. It's like passing it on, passing something tangible on to him, and just giving him, passing the blessing. But one of the most famous blessings in Scripture is Aaron blessing the people of Israel. And I'm going to read these beautiful words out to you. They're in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." So this is Aaron the priest carrying this message from God. But who's blessing here? Is it Aaron blessing or God blessing? Yeah, it's both. But Aaron is passing on the blessing, because he says in verse 23, "Speak to Aaron, thus you shall bless the people of Israel." This is how you are to bless them. You're to bless them by giving them my blessing. So this is very helpful here, because here we're seeing an alignment that blessing somebody is really what we're saying is we want you to experience God's blessing. It's a prayer that they will experience God's blessing. And so I think this is a really helpful to see this, when God is blessing us, it's something tangible, it's something, you know, whether it's health or finances or friendships, relationships, whatever it is, the way that God is blessing us, when we bless other people, we are praying God's blessing to come onto them. Because he is the one who has the storehouse of blessing. It's like, we don't have this like storehouse of spiritual blessing we can give to people. It's God who gives out this blessing. The question then is, how are we to receive this? And this is the point I'm going to be closing with today. How are we to receive these blessings from God? And I'm going to suggest to you that, first of all, by believing and trusting God, and I'm going to suggest that that releases blessings forever, and God simply wants us to trust him. So what does this actually mean? I want to unpack this. The verses I read from the Old Testament, from the Old Covenant, were about, if you do these things and you keep these laws, I will bless you. But what Jesus has done in the New, he said, I'm replacing those laws simply by trust. You will receive blessings if you simply trust me. And we can see that in many places, but I'm just going to give you an example. When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to Thomas amongst other people, and Thomas didn't believe to start with, but then when he saw Jesus, he believed. And we read, Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who've not seen and yet have believed." So to believe is to receive the blessing. Another verse from Galatians. Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, so then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So Abraham believed God, that was counted as having met God's requirements, and so those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham. So we are blessed if we do the same kind of thing. And this is explained in a little bit more detail here in Romans 4. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as due. You know, if you work, then you expect your wages. It's not a gift. the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord will not count his sin. So let me just unpack this, because this is so important. What blessing does God provide if we simply trust him? He promises to forgive our sin, to take it away, to remove it, to remove our sin. That is an incredible blessing. What blessing could you have that's more than that? Well, the other thing that you can have that certainly lasts longer than that is being part of God's new creation, God's new eternal creation, forever and ever having his eternal joy. And what is that blessing dependent on? Not following all these laws precisely. That's a common misconception about Christianity, that if you're good enough, God will bless you. If you do enough good things, God will bless you. But these verses are very clear. No, what God wants us to do is simply to trust him. Simply believe in Jesus. Simply trust him, and he wants to give us these blessings. And so the answer to the question then about how do we receive God's blessings simply is by trusting him. And he's promised that is how to access his blessing. So what the Bible says about blessing: we bless God, or we bless food. God blesses us, or we bless each other. And my last question to ask is, how do our blessings as people have any effect? When we bless people, when we bless babies or one another, does it have any effect? What authority do we have? And so let's ask this question then. What I would say is that when humans bless others, they are simply praying for God to bless them. That we don't have some intrinsic storehouse of blessing that we can pass out. Jesus tells all of us to bless. Jesus says, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. And he's saying, you are able to do that, just like is in the old, Aaron was passing out God's blessing. You can do that as a believer, because in the New Testament, God has made us all priests. All of us are priests. All of us who believe in him, who trust in him, can pass out a blessing like Aaron did. So what does it mean to bless those who curse you? Pray for their good. Pray, God, give good things to these people. And there's a lovely verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I just want to say, in Luke there, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Those are two ways of saying the same thing. To pray for people who abuse you. Hey, that's tough, isn't it? Am I praying for this, for the good of this person? I'm not just going to pray that they come to realize how horrible they've been to me. No, I'm praying that they will be blessed. And so he's putting these two things together. That's very helpful. So here's my verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we've set our hope that he will deliver us again. This is Paul. He's had a real problem. He's been delivered. And he says, you also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. Do you like that? That's really clear, isn't it? That I want you to pray that God will bless me, and God will bless me through your prayers. So this is in line with what I've been saying. When we pray for others, we're asking God to bless them. And Paul says, this is so amazing. You know, because of your prayers, I've been sustained. So I need to have your prayers. So what about blessing children? And I'm going to show you the verses now. In Mark chapter 10, we have him blessing children in most of the Gospels, but I'm going to pick the Mark one here. They were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. This is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but only Mark uses the word bless. In the other ones, he takes them and gives thanks for them, prays for them. It doesn't use the word bless, but it's effectively the same thing. There's no doubt that these children are blessed by Jesus. And so as we then move to the time of blessing we're about to have, I want us to ask this crucial question: what is it that makes our blessings effective? We hope that our blessings today are going to be effective, and I'm going to give you three suggestions. The first is that we're going to follow Jesus' example. And Jesus was very clear that apart from him dying on the cross for our sins, his life was to be an example to us. And he has set us an example by praying for children, by blessing children. And so when we're following Jesus' example, we can hope, we can expect that God is going to hear us, and our blessings are going to be effective. So that is the first point. We're following Jesus' example. And we want to be really clear about this. It's not our idea to bless children. It's Jesus' idea, and he wants us to follow his practice. The second point is that we're praying as a united community. We're praying together as a community. And in Matthew chapter 18, we read, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth," and there's more than two of us here, "if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." So there's a united community around our prayers today. That's the second thing that makes it effective. Not that an individual's prayer isn't effective, but there's an extra blessing, I believe, when there's a united community. And the last one is praying in Jesus' name. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? This is a really, really important question, because we get verses like, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I'll do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Often what we mean, it means to tack on the phrase "in Jesus' name" at the end of the prayer, and somehow that makes it work. Is that right? It's like sticking a stamp on an envelope, you know, it makes it legal, it makes it work. Is that what it means? I'm going to suggest to you it doesn't mean that at all. Supposing you're part of a family and the parents in the family say, you know, we made a decision, we're going to have a model of healthy eating. Our family is going to move towards healthy eating, and in the name of healthy eating, you tell me what you want to eat. And you say, "I'd like a bag of chips in the name of healthy eating." No, it's not tacking it on the end that makes it work. It's because it actually is for that the goal that you had. And so when it's in the name of Jesus, really it's in the name of his kingdom, in the name of his desires. And so I'm going to suggest to you that in Jesus' name does not mean tacking. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen, on the end. We can still do that. There's nothing wrong with reminding ourselves about that. Jesus has put his name on a mission to bring his kingdom of love and peace to this world. That's what his mission is. When we ask in his name, we're asking for something that will fit with that goal. Now, this is really key. This is where Jesus said, "You ask in my name, your prayers will be answered." This is what we have to do. We have to pray prayers that fit in with the mission. And you'll be seeing, as we're praying for the prayers in just 1 minute, they're going to be prayers that fit in with this mission of Jesus, what he wants to do in this world. And so that is the prayer then that we're going to be praying. And so we're going to transition now, this meeting, into a blessing.